Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 26th episode of Quilt Cabana Corner. I'm Sandy Caldwell, and I will be your hostess today, and this will be the last episode of 2012. So go grab your coffee, tea, hot chocolate, whatever it is you're drinking this morning, eggnog, whatever, and join me. Today, I have a podcast that probably won't be all that long. The girls have a half day today, which is Thursday, December 20th, and then they are off school tomorrow and I think until January 3rd, so this is probably the only chance I'm going to get over the next week or so to do a podcast, so I thought I would do it this morning before they get home. So as I said, it won't be that long. I have some reader comments for the podcast question to go over, and that question was, what advice do you have for a new quilter? And you all have lots of great advice, I have to say, really great advice for a new quilter. And I'm going to talk a little bit about irons, because I did get my new iron, finally, and I've had a chance to try it out, so I want to report on that. And also, I'll just talk a minute about the postcard swap that Sandy and I did. I think Sandy talked about it in her podcast, and I can't remember if I talked about it in my last one or not, but we have received each other, so we'll talk about that. And that will probably be about it. So let's get started. And I should also just mention that I did have two magazines for today, but nothing was spectacular in either one. I hate to say that, but I'm going to save a little time today and skip the magazine review, and I'm sure that in the January-February issues coming up, there'll be lots of great stuff to talk about for the new year, so we'll wait until then to do the magazine review. And also, I just wanted to mention that while I've been on the Quilt Show website watching some of those shows, I was watching one that was featuring Jan Krentz. And she does a lot of stuff with stripes. And she had a really great tip about when you're working with striped fabric. Now, her deal is that in many instances, she uses a square ruler. And the way that she lines her square ruler up with the stripes gives it a diamond effect. And then instead of piecing diamonds with Y seams, you're just piecing squares. And I actually showed it on my blog, so if you haven't had a chance, you can hop over to the blog and see. It was a green and red and gold striped little wall hanging that I made following Jan's advice. And this, I thought, was the best tip of all. She was encouraging people not to be afraid of working with stripes, which many of us are. So her tip was that instead of cutting into the fabric, find a piece of striped wrapping paper and use your rulers on that and cut up the striped wrapping paper and see how it all goes together before you ever cut into your $10.50 a yard fabric. So that's the tip of the day, I think. And that was Jan Krentz on The Quilt Show. Okay, let's talk about the iron. As you all know, I have iron issues. My Rowentas have spit steam, super hot water at me, water that's brown, even though I clean them out, and I use spring water and all that stuff. So I was looking into a dry iron because I also have a Black & Decker that was like $20. I think I got it from Walmart. And although it doesn't spit steam at me, until recently, it never really got the wrinkles out that well. Like, not at all. Like, I would be ironing and think it looked pretty, you know, flat and everything, and then I'd hold it up to the light, and it would just be terrible. Terrible wrinkles still in it. So, I think I had read over on Bonnie Hunter's blog or somewhere, people were talking about the Continental Platinum Dry Iron. Several folks had gotten theirs at the Vermont Country Store for $25. I found mine on Amazon for $14. So I have to say that I love this iron, but it worries me slightly. There is no automatic shutoff on it, which I find to be terrific because I can sew things and then go back and my iron is still good and hot. Of course, the downside of that is you know, you ever walk out the door and forget to turn off that iron, you're going to have a problem. So it does worry me slightly that there's no auto shut off, even though there are many times I enjoy that feature. Excuse me. So the iron itself gets extremely hot. It's heavy and it's very hot, so it does do a good job of getting the wrinkles out. I do have a spray bottle available in case I've got, you know, a crease in there that I really want to, you know, shoot with the water and try to get the crease out. It does work good with sizing because I use the magic sizing a lot. On the nose of the iron, it has a little indent to go around buttons, which is great. And back to the fact that the iron is so hot, when you hold the handle of the iron, there is a little impression there for where you can rest your thumb. And believe you me, you better rest your thumb there because, as I said, the temperature is very, very hot. So that being said, when I go to press my seams, there's no steam. There's no steam coming out of this. It's just a dry iron. So there's no wonkiness to the seams, nothing, the fabric's not getting skewed. It's great. It does a fabulous, fabulous job. Now, once in a while, my husband will have to iron his own work shards. I know, God forbid, bad wife, right? But he'll take the ironing board and he'll set it up on a Sunday afternoon in front of the football game and iron his work shirts. So, yay, Greg. Go him. And he went to go use the new iron and he came back to me and said, I hate that iron. I don't like that iron. And the problem that he had with it was that it doesn't have the same glide as a steam iron. He didn't feel it went smoothly across his shirts. So I really haven't had that problem with it, but I don't know. I guess that's just a preference. So that's the husband's two cents right there. So I'm very glad that I got it. I do like it. I paid $14 for it with free shipping on Amazon. I don't see how I could go wrong. You know, my Rowentas, two of them, and my Black & Decker, they're in the iron graveyard in my bathroom in the cabinet. So if I ever, you know, want to pull those out and try them again, which I doubt because I'm tired of being burned by their steamy spit, you know, those are still around. But overall, I think that this is a really great iron for the money. It does what I want it to. I have yet to find the iron that gets out every single wrinkle, and when you hold it up to the light, you know, there's not a single wrinkle in it. And that's without using starch or magic sizing. When you use the sizing and starch and stuff, yes, you can get that perfectly clean, crisp look. But I'm talking about just regular, straight-on ironing without doing anything to it. I have yet to find the iron that will do that all on its own. So if you found that iron, please, please, please let me know. And also, I believe Janet over on the Big Tent is looking for some iron advice as well. That is the newest conversation topic that's up on the super group, is she's looking for some iron advice. And we've visited this topic many a time before, and Colleen from Canada has told me that she has a Tefal, although in Canada it's called something else, but it is the Tefal company, and she said she adores her iron. So you can check that out. So I guess that's the last word on irons on this podcast today anyway. So check out Big Tent. Help out Janet. Okay, so actually I lied. I have one more word about the irons. I paused for a second and then I was like, oh, I have one more thing to say. And that is, that iron is phenomenal for fusible applique, which, as you know, I love, 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 love fusible applique, and steam is not something you want when you're using paperback fusible, especially the ThermaWeb heat and bond light kind. So awesome for fusible applique. All right, that's it. That's the final word on the irons. Okay, quick word about postcards. Sandy and I decided to use the American Patchwork and Quilting article on fabric postcards. We each made one for the other. We went to the post office. We asked them to hand stamp them, and we mailed them off. Mine arrived very quickly to Sandy. For some reason, Sandy's took maybe a week to get to me. I know she was worried that it wasn't going to get to me. And we kept the faith, and lo and behold, it did show up in the mailbox. So what I want to say about it is that those postcards arrived in perfect condition. We did not put them in an envelope or a sleeve or anything like that. We just kind of crossed our fingers and said bon voyage to it. And, you know, hers was pieced and had a binding. Mine was done with fusible applique, big surprise. And I had stitched around the border of mine with a tight zigzag. And I think I had said on my blog where I posted a small tutorial about it, in hindsight, I would have gone around the border of that twice, sort of like we do with the fabric bowls, and it kind of makes like a satin stitch effect, and that's what I should have done. But at that time, for some reason, I was having an issue with my sewing machine, so in the interest of my sanity, I just cut my losses and sent it off. So that was a very, very fun project to do. Maybe next year, if you'd like, I could organize a swap and more of us could do it. I know... you know, we had quite a bit of conversation on it through Twitter. So that'll be something for next year. But yeah, fabric postcards, way to go. Loved it. It was very, very fun. All right, I want to talk a minute about the new year and the fact that I had put on my blog that my New Year's resolution this year is that I have no New Year's resolution. I know. Shock, shame, the guilt. I know, it's terrible. I should, but I don't. And I'm looking out my window right now and it's snowing. Yay! I don't know how it can be snowing. It's like 40 degrees out right now. But it's snowing! My youngest daughter will be so happy. I'm going to digress for one moment. She found out this year that there's no, that mom and dad are Santa. And it's breaking her little heart. And she doesn't feel she has any Christmas spirit right now. So... I do hope she's at school looking out her window right now and being overjoyed that there are snowflakes in the air. I did sit her down last night, though, and tell her that, you know, no matter who puts the gifts out under the tree or in the stocking, that, you know, Christmas is about, you know, more about the giving than the receiving, and it's, you know, about the birth of Jesus, and that Christmas spirit is still alive. So a little hard for a 10-year-old to wrap her head around that, but... you know, but then again, not really, because she said she knew. So I think she's just tired. She's having a little rough school year. A new math program in place that's really throwing her for a loop. And me too. And she's ready for a break, I think. So, all right, back to New Year's resolutions. The year of no resolutions. The reason why I'm doing that. And I normally pick a word. I've read many of Debbie May Comer's books, and her nonfiction ones are great, and she's always talking about how she chooses a word for herself for the coming year. Trust, believe, I don't know. Last year my word was flourish. I guess I didn't think my packages and things didn't look embellished enough or something. I don't know what I was thinking, but... or that perhaps I didn't do things fancy enough. I have no idea. So, I pretty much ignored that word all year because I felt I was failing at it anyhow, which is crazy. How can you fail at a word? I don't know, but I thought I was. So this year I'm not choosing a word either. I'm going to have a year where I do all the things that I've been doing all along, still working diligently on projects. In fact, I'm working on several projects that I'm hoping will be published as a second book or... through a pattern company. We'll see. We'll see where it takes me. I'm more than halfway through. Which is why I don't post that much about my progress either. I can't show anybody stuff. So if you're thinking I'm not doing anything, I really am. I really truly am. I just can't show you right now. So anyway, I'm going to finish that up. I'm hopefully going to be teaching a class from my home, although I don't have anyone who has signed up yet. So if someone's listening and you live near me, and you want to come to a rolling class that would be offered Thursday, Fridays, or the second Saturday of the month, you choose the schedule. You get a punch card. You can come when you want to. I'll help you with your beginner project. So all that information is on my blog, and I need to put it on my website too, so I'll do that next. But anyhow, I'm going to work on that, and I also have some other quilts that I'd like to finish up that were comfort quilts, and also I have something for my nephew, and I'd like to finish up the card trick quilt for once and for all. All of the rows are done. I just need to sew the rows together and throw a border and binding on it. My jelly roll quilt. I have maybe 5 or 6 quilts that are sitting here. They just need a couple days' attention each, and I could finish them up. So that's what I'm going to work on, and I'm hoping that maybe by the end of March I can clear all of those away. The book projects, you know, will be done, and I can kind of take a breath and figure out where I'm going from there. So that's the word on resolutions and the word. All right, let's move on to all of the awesome advice that you all have for new quilters. And I will say that a lot of this advice does not only apply to the new quilter, it applies to the seasoned quilters as well, who sometimes just need a reminder about the true joy of quilting. So, let's go there next. Again, the podcast question was, what advice do you have for a new quilter? Robin tweeted me, don't require perfection from yourself. Just enjoy the process. Use quilt shop quality fabric if you can afford it. That is very good advice, Robin. Especially that perfection part. We all are guilty of that. Gretchen Firestone says, be as precise as possible without becoming obsessive. If you want to change something in a pattern, do it. Right, absolutely, because what's the worst that happens? You get out your seam ripper and you rip for a little bit. So you have to be open to making mistakes. I think that's another good piece of advice. And Diane says, enjoy the process. Absolutely. If you don't enjoy it, why are we doing it? Right? I have 2 comments here, which was, should have gone on the last podcast research question about the vendors and the quilt show and what's your favorite part. And that stinky Podbean sometimes doesn't tell me I have messages or comments waiting. So I apologize. Amy Laura had said regarding that question, I think my favorite part of a quilt show is the vendors. They always have lots of quilts hanging in their booths, so there is eye candy plus good things to buy. Absolutely, they always have great stuff. And, this one was from Lori K. Lori K says, I listened to your latest podcast and you mentioned an app for the iPad that sounds interesting. Can you remind me of the title of the app? I'd like to check it out. Lori, if you were talking about the one where I'm recording on, it's Memo Recorder HD. If you were referring to the app where you can play around with the different quilts and the layouts, hold on 1 second. Let me just look and see what that one was. Hold on. Okay, Lori, it's Block Fab HD. That was the name of that one. Okay, now let's move on to over at the Big Tent, where lots of people replied. Very Lazy Daisy says, my best advice to a new quilter is never, in capital letters, judge your work against that of someone who has much more experience. Don't spend time beating yourself up. Just take time to learn as you go. Surround yourself with more experienced quilters and learn from them. But at the same time, don't let them limit you. Don't get bogged down with the quilting rules. Terrific advice, Daisy. Really, really great advice. You should never judge work against anyone else's. We're all individuals. We all have our own taste in what we do. So work on your own work. Admire other people's if you want, but don't judge yourself by it. Jackie from So Excited Quilts says, relax and enjoy the process. Skill and technique will come. Become friends with your seam ripper. Remember the galloping horse. The galloping horse is, if you can't see it from a galloping horse, don't worry about it. So if you have a point that doesn't match up and you can't see it from a galloping horse, who cares? Just move on and don't get caught up in it. Do you examine store-bought items in the same way you are critiquing your work? Ask me how I know. Any mistake you make, I've done numerous times, Jackie. I love that. Do you look at your store-bought items in the same way? I mean, maybe I do, maybe I don't. I tend to think I don't. I think, you know, we all hold ourselves to some ridiculous standard. So relax and enjoy. Our quilt maker says, I think it's very helpful to take a sampler class at some point early in your quilt making career, or to make the usual sampler blocks on your own. Making a sampler quilt helps to teach all the skills needed to make any block out there. Being able to make any block really enhances the joy of quilt making, Jay. I agree, Jay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Katie's from Katie's Quilting says, I do judge store-bought stuff. The first thing I look at when I'm buying something is how are the decorative stitches? Are they even? Are they finished properly? Are there hanging threads? I know it's just me. My advice to a new quilter, don't give up. Try different methods. Not all of them work for everybody, as everyone is different. And move your finger that holds the ruler down a half an inch away from the edge of the ruler. I just recently sliced off, the part of my left index finger, only a smidge that it didn't bleed. Oh, thank goodness. But it could have been a lot worse. I, again, agree with Jackie. The seam ripper is still my BFF after all these years. One can always correct any mistakes with the help of the seam ripper, even quilting. Ask me how I know. Thanks, Katie. Hope your finger's better. And let's see. Oh, and then Jackie had replied that she has a nickel jar for anyone in her classes caught using a rotary cutter without a glove. So, yes, absolutely, get a glove. And let's see if there's any more here. Trumkel says, my fun tip is to not be afraid of color. Use the rainbow and be interesting. A sampler quilt is a great start, and also finding a group or guild to give encouragement is a great starting point. Absolutely, absolutely. And I will also say, you know, use the color wheel and also use photographs because, you know, sometimes the best color combinations come from Mother Nature. So just absolutely, totally use your photographs to, you know, cull some colors from. And there's two more. Okay, these were from over on Podbean. And the first comment from Tori says, enjoyed your episode as always. I do love me some vendors. Okay, she's referring to the last question. At the Hershey PA show, I took my son and daughter. Son was advised by the staff that he was the CEO since he has to carry everything out. He was amused. That's great, Tori. I bet he loved his position as CEO there. And Cheryl says, hi, Sandy. I'm doing some catch-ups on my favorite podcast while my sewing room is empty and awaiting a new carpet. Not only will I have lovely, clean flooring, but putting everything back will also give me a chance to do some reorganizing. I was shocked at how much stuff I have accumulated, and some of it I had forgotten I had. Like so many crafters, I'm reluctant to throw anything away in case it's precisely the very item needed to enhance, complete, or begin a new project. As to your question for the next podcast, I would like to suggest that a beginner class would benefit hugely from being shown how to understand and use the markings on quilting rulers. Yes, absolutely. This will probably amuse the majority of your listeners, but from experience as a new quilter, it can be very confusing as to how to cut a block using a square ruler with so many different sizes and lines on it. Not only square rulers either, then there's the way we left-handers have to place the ruler in order to do the cutting. Sometimes a few basic lessons, which may be blindingly obvious to those more experienced, can make all the difference as to whether the learner will feel confident enough to go home and put into practice what they've been shown as against struggling on and maybe giving up because they're too embarrassed to admit they just don't understand the method. Some of us are very quick to learn, and others go at a slower pace, and a good tutor will accept that. Thank you for asking for suggestions. It will be interesting to hear what other listeners would consider important for a beginner class. Yes, this has been great, Cheryl, and I thank you for that comment. And I thank everyone who's taken the time to leave a comment, and as has been said before, you know, even if you've thought about leaving a comment and you haven't, that's fine too. Or if you leave your comment over on Twitter, because that's what's easy for you, that's fabulous too. Comments are always, always welcome. I like to share them. I hope you know that, you know, sometimes when you do leave me a comment and it pertains to the podcast question, it will be on the podcast. So if you ever are leaving me a response and you don't want it on the podcast, just say so, and I absolutely will respect that. So thank you to everyone. And let's have the next podcast question be this. What is the one, you have to pick one, what is the one UFO that you absolutely would like to get finished in the new year? So just pick one and tell me what it is. And let us all know, because we like to hear what everyone else is working on, because we're nosy quilters like that. So, all right, I think that I'm going to wrap this episode up. The very last one of 2012. I can't wait to be in contact with you all in 2013. Maybe we'll get some more podcasts up there. We're at number 26. You know, maybe we can at least add 10 or 12 more. I usually do at least once a month, sometimes more. Depends on how I feel, what I'm working on. So this week, I hope that you find lots of love and fun and comfort with your family and friends celebrating whatever holiday you're celebrating. And I think there's going to be a Boxing Day sew-in or day after Christmas sew-in. I'm not totally sure, so be tuned into Twitter and my blog for that. You can find me at www.quiltcabanapatterns.com. You can find me at that same web address with a /blog to get to the blog that's updated at least a couple of times a week when WordPress is working. Had some issues with it yesterday. You can find me at sewsandy8@yahoo.com. That's S-E-W-8, the number 8, at yahoo.com. Sorry, blanking out here. You can find me on Twitter under Quilt Cabana, Facebook under Quilt Cabana Patterns, and I don't know, I guess those are all the places you can find me, so come find me, leave me a comment. Better yet, leave me a rating or whatever it is that iTunes is looking for, a review, that's it. Leave me a review. So everybody else who, you know, might see the podcast but doesn't know if they should take time to listen, so that they will listen. And that's it. Have a wonderful, wonderful end of 2012 and a beautiful beginning to 2013. Thanks for quilting with me, blogging with me, podcasting with me. I love you all. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.